News, Sports 1140 KHDK.
Welcome to Entrepreneurs Unlimited with Mark Haney on KHDK Sports 1140 and HaneyBiz.com. Mark is a well-known local entrepreneur who has a passion for growing companies and uncovering the stories of other successful business people. Mark will share his and their experiences and hopes to ignite the entrepreneurial spirit within you. And now, here's Mark Haney.
Are you growing or are you dying? That is the question. And I think, you know, as an investor, as an entrepreneur, as a parent, even as an employee, I believe if you're not growing in some way, chances are you're probably dying in some way. But isn't it the speed of our growth, the way that we grow, the why that we grow that separates us? I mean, that makes us different. And isn't growth what entrepreneurship is all about? I am here with my good friends, Marcus Haney and Tom Cisneros. How you doing, gentlemen?
It's a fine morning.
Oh, let's get that
let's
mic
turn
on.
That mic
there,
on.
There
it's
it is.
It's a fine morning. Clearly, I'm not awake yet.
You got the mic on. You're ready to roll. And now, as far as business growth, Tom, if you're not growing, you're dying. You agree with that? It's a pretty strong statement.
Well, I agree with that. Let's face it, we're all dying.
Yeah, in
right?
some way, we're
but,
all...
But, I mean, really, it has to do with the business model, right? I mean, it depends on what kind of business it is. It depends on, I mean, are you planning on franchising? Is this thing scalable? If you grow too fast and you leverage maybe the business you have because you want to open two or three more, is it profitable with the original business? I mean, should you be patient? There's like so many elements to that.
Wow, that's got me a little confused. Marcus, what do you think? should we be growing our businesses or is there the times when you got to shrink to grow?
Interesting question. Well, I definitely think that you should always be looking forward to that growth because what else would you be doing in business if you're just going to be at a standstill?
Yeah.
But I do think that there's times where you have to look back, shrink in, get to profitability, and look within and maybe change some systems that need to be changed in order to maintain that growth exponentially through the years to come.
Take SSI, right? I mean, one of your companies, the president, Todd Flowers, the VP, Mel, they actually are now doing more with less people. So, I mean, they had to, it's hard to cut back, especially when you have relationships with people.
But yet they're growing.
Yeah, we are.
I think as entrepreneurs, we're growing. And I think that's what this show is about, is helping the people to grow as entrepreneurs, helping people to grow their businesses. And we've got some great guests on there. But I want to ask you guys one serious question before we get going. What did the snail say while he was riding on the back of the tortoise?
Yeehaw.
Wee! it's perspective. How fast you grow, it's all, you know, we all have to grow, but it's the perspective. Some of us want to grow a little faster. Some of us going to grow a little slower. It just depends. Later in the show, you will meet self-made entrepreneur who has driven incredibly fast business growth these last several years. We will get to know Keith Estes, who owns and operates Century Lighting, one of the most successful medium-sized businesses in our region. But after the break, Carla Holtz will share the story of a high-tech upstart parable. We will find out why Carla recently made the decision to co-locate and scale her remarkable enterprise right here in Sacramento. Join the conversation on Facebook Live. This is Entrepreneurs Unlimited, broadcasting from Sports 1140 KHDK, streaming live, podcast, and YouTube at HaneyBiz.com. Welcome back to Entrepreneurs Unlimited, presented by the solar experts at Sun Systems Technology. I'm Mark Haney. And today I am joined by Carla Holtz, co-founder and CEO of Parable. They're the upstart high-tech company that has recently decided to co-locate here in the capital city. How are you doing this morning, Carla?
I'm great, Mark. Thank you.
Welcome to Sacramento. Welcome to the KHDK studios. Parable is your company. Tell us a little bit about Parable.
Sure. So Parable is an independent identification solution. So what we're trying to do is what we have is a proprietary technology that allows brands and advertisers to reach users wherever they go on their mobile device. And so think of those third-party cookies out there that everyone hates. Well, guess what? They really don't work on mobile, period.
Right.
And so our solution is a privacy-friendly way to identify users without third-party cookies.
Now, cookies, I think of those as something you eat. Now, this is you're saying that cookies kind of crumble when they get onto a mobile phone. Is that how it works? It doesn't work as well?
Exactly. They don't work on iPhones, and then the cookie syncs that do exist on Androids don't really work effectively.
And,
so
yeah, and so now you're with the cookies or the Parable product, you are looking at users and how they use their phones, what they look at?
No, we don't look at any of that. We integrate with different companies and place our unique identifier on the device. So it's actually very privacy-friendly. We don't know the user's name. We know nothing about them. We don't use the IP address. We're not looking at behaviors. We just know that they're ABC123.
How do your customers use the product?
It depends who the customers are. For an advertiser or a brand, for example, they would use us to be able to reach the user with the most relevant or personalized offer or advertisement or content. For a media group or a publisher directly, it allows them to better know their audience, monetize their audience, and reach their audience with the right content.
Okay, so it provides information back to the advertiser in the end, and so that they can market more effectively, make a little bit more money for themselves.
Exactly, and advertisers and brands are accustomed to buying data to reach that audience with precision. And so Parable's precision product exactly does that. It's an audience precision tool. It allows the advertiser or brand to reach the user, give them the right content, and reach them effectively.
And then as far as your business strategy, do you sell them some software? Do you license software? How do you actually make a transaction?
It's a licensing fee.
Okay, so licensing fee to the media company or to the large end user? Sounds like something that a big corporation might want to buy.
Yeah, it's more data companies. We work with more channel partners and data companies, agencies.
Okay, so very high-tech stuff. C-student coming in here trying to figure this out. Why Sacramento? Let me get to something that I know a little bit about, and that's Sacramento. Why did you choose to locate this high-tech company right here in Sacramento?
Oh, a number of reasons, Mark. So number one, there's great talent here. And as we build out our account team and our engineering team, it's a great place to hire students and recent grads from Sac State, Davis. There's great companies like Intel here. So a great engineering pool or talent pool and account managers. I mean, right now, San Francisco, where our other headquarters are, is really just expensive. I mean, you've got Facebook, you've got Google, you've got Airbnb that have deep pockets that can pay 100% of benefits for every user or for every employee that they hire. And so Sacramento we have to have a more affordable place to hire phenomenal talent. And so that's really one of the reasons.
Yeah. Now, you talk about talent. I got my friend Dave Sanders sitting over here. He's kind of been hanging in the back, but he's the one that introduced me to you. Dave Sanders is a renowned investor and managing partner of World Bridge Partners. And tomorrow's your birthday. How you doing, Dave?
I'm still doing good.
You came in here. You're getting ready to go on a little trip for the birthday, but you've joined us here on the studios to help with the discussion with Carla today. Now, we talked about the affordability here in the Sacramento region. How much cheaper is it for a company to locate here?
I would say half to two-thirds of the cost.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And now, Dave, you've brought in a number of businesses and people to Sacramento, right, within your business. Talk to us about what you're seeing in the region these days.
Well, I think we're finally at a point where companies that are considering other locations are now looking at Sacramento as a very viable option. Cost of living, but also proximity to the Bay Area still. I mean, we look like we're part of the greater Bay Area. If you stay and move your business to this region, you still maintain that connectivity. If you're going to Seattle, if you're going to Austin, you really do lose that. So I think that's a real benefit.
And I think in a business like yours, Carla, the connectivity is huge. You've got an office in New York, you've got San Francisco, and now you're co-locating here, but you expect to scale here in the Sacramento region. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm. Correct.
And what does that growth look like?
Oh, it's predominantly engineers and account managers. And as we scale our client base and our distribution, we will hire more here. And I envision this being one of our largest offices. And listen, it's an hour and 20 minutes from San Francisco. Any given day, it's 2 hours in traffic down to Palo Alto. So right. I like the reliable, commute back and forth for myself and the rest of the team.
Yeah. All right. Now, your team here, have you already started putting the team together for Sacramento?
Mm-hmm. Yes, we have.
What's that team look like at this point?
It's account managers and engineers.
Okay. And what do they do?
They help with our integrations with our different clients. They help, what's an account manager do?
I have no idea.
As we bring on more and more really big clients, they help us.
Okay, so they'll manage the customer accounts.
Manage the customers, manage the integrations, you know, really make sure that we're servicing the customer.
And how important is the team? And, you know, you have a vast business experience, but how important is the team? Because you're right now, how many people do you have?
We're hiring our 10th.
You're hiring your 10th person. And then how fast do you expect to hire more people?
As quickly as we can scale clients, we will hire efficiently. I heard you talk about efficient growth, and I believe in manageable growth. So as our clients require it, we will hire more here.
Yeah, and now your product, is it completely ready right now? Have you launched the product and you're making sales yet?
Absolutely.
And what's the response?
Oh, everybody knows that there's a huge need to solve this identification problem, especially on mobile. And I think that we just need more and more engineers to grow as fast as we want to.
And the engineers, are they building out the software? Or what do the engineers do?
Really integrations, doing more R&D. We've got some new releases coming out.
Have you now? You're a startup company. You guys got it rolling in like 2014. What challenges have you faced? What's the biggest hurdles you've had to overcome?
I would say that we are trying to solve one of the biggest problems in the digital advertising space, and there's obviously skepticism. There's people that say you can't do that. You know, who are you to solve this problem? And We actually engineered the solution in our previous business, and we recognized it was so game-changing to the entire digital advertising ecosystem. And so I think it's just skepticism. And
Who's skeptical?
Anybody when you're trying to bring something new to market. I mean, there's, you know, people are really have built a business around third-party cookies, and creating a solution that provides transparency and efficiency is a whole new thing for the industry.
And now that to those people that doubted you in the beginning, I mean, what would you say to them now? Do you feel like you're in a position to have proven them wrong?
Oh, I'd not say proving them wrong, but just showing them that our solution works. How about that?
Yeah. Now, how are you funding the growth? Obviously, you're going to hire all these people, and you know, even though Sacramento is pretty affordable, you still got to pay these guys. How do you fund the growth?
Through clients and through, you know, investment.
Okay.
Dollars.
And through investment dollars, who owns the company?
Well, myself, my co-founder and CTO, obviously, and then we've got several different funds involved in the company.
Okay. And where do you see the company growing? I mean, what do you envision for like 5-10 years down the road? What does Parable look like?
Parable wants to replace the third-party cookie and be the ubiquitous identification solution that's privacy-friendly and is global, and I envision us having a really phenomenal team that, you know, obviously has a huge office in Sacramento and is passionate about what they do and providing visibility and efficiency and transparency to the ecosystem.
Now, I love that ambition. And where did that ambition come from? You grew up in Idaho, is that right?
No, Iowa.
Iowa. dang, I hate it when that happens.
It's corn, not potato.
Iowa, Idaho, shoot. Okay, so you grew up in Iowa. Your first job was selling butter door to door, right? So where did you get the entrepreneurial spirit from? Where do you feel like that came from?
I have absolutely no idea. I mean, I think I had parents that really just encouraged me to do my own thing. I sold butter. I sold sweet corn on the side of the road with my best friend. I sold fire starters. I had some family members in the technology space. My uncle started a computer company. That was pretty inspiring. And so I was just always encouraged to do my own thing and be creative. And from the day one, I really always wanted to have my own company.
Your uncle started a small company, right? What was that? What was that company?
It was a pretty large computer company.
You don't want to bet you the name.
That's fine. It was Gateway.
Gateway Computers. Okay. Thank you for sharing that. And so, in thinking about the progression of your business career, how important are these business partners, and how do they relate to progressing the company? You've got your CTO that's in New York, right?
Correct.
And you. How do you guys all work together as a team?
Oh, very closely. Justin, my co-founder and CTO, was my advisor in my previous business. And when we made this big, game-changing invention, he came on as my co-founder and CTO. So I work very closely with Justin. We see each other at least once a month, if not more. We're on Google Hangouts all the time, on phone calls, Slack. We work very well together, and I'm excited to have him.
That's awesome. So, now, Dave, I want to bring you back into the conversation a little bit here. So tell us a little bit about World Bridge Partners. And you recruit people to come in, and you place them in these high positions within the Sacramento area and beyond. So World Bridge and your angel investing chops, how does that how did you come across Carla, and how do you put all this together?
Well, first of all, I'm ADD, so that probably has something to do with it. But, World Bridge as a whole, we've got 10 offices, about 100 recruiters covering multiple industries, but my focus is mostly high-level retained search. Of course, I've done a lot in the technology space, but I have a real interest in continuing to grow and expand this region, and also very linked in because I have two angel funds, so we invest in some of these startups. One of the questions I wanted to pose back to Carla is, you know, not only coming to Sacramento and finding a lower cost of doing business, but I think one of the things she also needed to do was raise capital. And typically people go, well, there's no money in Sacramento, so why would anybody come here? I'd love for Carla to talk a little bit about what her experience has been so far.
Sure. So as an entrepreneur raises money, I've got many different investors, some from New York City, some from the Bay Area. And we do have a fund, Moneta Ventures, who's invested us in the Sacramento-Folsom region. And they've been fabulous. They know how to scale software businesses. That's their expertise. And they've been really helpful in, you know, engaging us in the local business environment here as well, because there's some pretty huge companies in Sacramento that we're really keen to work with and to drive value to. So Moneta's been really fabulous and excited to have them as a partner.
How did you connect up with Moneta?
Oh, through Barry Broom, who is head of Greater Sac. And I met him at an event in San Francisco a few months ago and was talking about the inflection point our business was hitting and the need to hire engineers. And he suggested that I look at the Sac region, which I did. And I had several calls, came make visits, and then ended up meeting Moneta through that process.
And in meeting Moneta, and this maybe just kind of to help educate listeners a little bit, when you meet someone like Moneta, what's the process look like when you actually go to get your funding?
So when you meet any investor, there's obviously lots of back and forth. Think of it as dating, right? So you go and you have your initial conversation with them, and maybe you do your presentation, and they, you know, pummel you with questions, which I'm pretty accustomed to at this point. And then you go back and forth on lots of emails. And then if they're interested, you'll come in again. And then there's a due diligence process. And that's basically where you show all of your corporate documents, all your business plans, your financials, everything. And they look at it as an investment opportunity. And so, you know, that process can take, depending on, you know, the investor, you know, 2 weeks to 6 months. So it's a pretty long and thorough process.
Did you have to give some kind of pitch, or was it just more of a casual interview? What did it feel like?
No, I had to give a pitch.
Yeah.
In front of about 10 people.
What do you think they like so much about Parable?
Oh, I think it's a huge game-changing technology. It's got a huge upside. It's truly game-changing for the entire industry.
All right. Dave, any other questions, comments?
So Moneta made a decision to invest. I guess my question would be, have they been able to also make some other introductions, or has the region been able to help make introductions to other investors? Because I think those are things that, you know, startups want to know about.
Absolutely. They've not only helped facilitate introductions with some pretty large companies in the region that we hope to work with and partner with, but also to other investors in the region.
Carla, I want to thank you for coming on. Dave, thanks for coming on the show today. I appreciate it. Coming up after the break, you're going to meet founder and CEO of our region's lighting empire, Century Lighting. Join the conversation on Facebook Live. This is Entrepreneurs Unlimited, broadcasting from Sports 1140 KHTK, streaming live, podcast, and YouTube at Haney Bid. All right, let's pick this thing up a little bit. Welcome back to Entrepreneurs Unlimited, presented by the solar experts at Sun Systems Technology. I'm Mark Haney, and today I am joined by Keith Estes, founder and CEO of Century Lighting. How you doing, Keith?
Hey, real good, Mark. Thank you for having me here this morning.
You bet. And I know you've got things going on today. You squeeze this in. I hear you got to do some tile work a little bit later in the day.
Yeah, sure, for my daughter's house.
I love it. Yeah. And maybe even go see a little soccer game,
Got grandchildren. Got to handle that, too.
I love it. I have some of those same duties, opportunities today
it's,
as well.
It's all good. It's a lot of fun.
It is. So Century Lighting, we were over there the other day, Marcus and I, and we were blown away by the sheer scope and scale of your business. Talk to us about Century Lighting. What do you guys do over there?
Sure. What we are is we're kind of a unique company. We're not a high-tech per se, as maybe the previous guest was. A little bit more simple. We do lighting. We're an electrical contractor, but we specialize in outdoor lighting services. Maintenance service, and, of course, the new thing is LED lighting upgrades.
Okay, so you say outdoor lighting. What would a lighting project look like for you guys?
Well, typically, our customers are commercial property managers and commercial property owners.
Okay.
They've got parking lot lights and outdoor building lights, and that's the sort of thing we focus on maintaining, servicing, and then upgrading to new energy-efficient products that are out there.
Okay, so when the light bulb goes off in my parking lot, I call you, or do I have you on? Am I on a contract?
You're typically on a contract. We have well over 2,000 contracts for sites throughout the state, for parking lots, for shopping centers, office complexes, whatever, that we have on a monthly maintenance contract. What we do is we go out once a month at a assigned week, inspect the site. If there's any work to be done, we take care of it for the customer.
You know, I've seen your cranes and trucks around Sacramento, and I never really thought about it that much. It's like, oh, you know, you guys got to go way up in the air and change those lights. Who does that stuff? Well, it's Century Lighting, and your customers are these people that own a bunch of properties. Now, how do you find out when the lights are going bad? Do you guys have drones or something like that? You guys,
I wish.
My buddy Casey has some way of going. Does he go around at night and look at the lights?
Maybe in the future.
Work?
We do it. Yeah.
What do you guys have?
Not too complicated. We actually have a team of night auditors.
We have nine
night auditors throughout Northern California. What they do is they drive around in vehicles, and we do it all electronically. Everything's paperless. We have a site map that we've developed using Google, and we indicate where every light fixture is on a map. Guy has a tablet, basically, with a work order that's been keyed up and assigned to him for that week. He does his route, indicates with the little stylus, just marks on that tablet which lights are out. Yeah. And then real time, he uploads that into our server, gets routed to our service coordinator, who then assigns it out to the technician that's assigned in that area.
Wow, very systematized.
Yeah.
Now, tell us, I want to get back to how you systematize so much of this stuff, because in the beginning, it was just you, right?
Well, yeah.
How did you get this thing to the point now? How many employees do you guys have?
Well, we're about 100, a little over 100 employees right now.
Yeah, okay. Tell us how you got started, and how did you get it from you to this 100-plus person operation?
Well, if you want to go back over 30 years ago when I first got started, this is kind of the boring part, but it's interesting. I got started selling commercial-grade lighting supplies, light bulbs and fluorescent tubes.
Sales guy.
Yeah, sales guy. I had worked for another company and had been there for 9 years, and the company went bankrupt. So I needed to create a job.
Yeah,
I was like, darn.
So that's when you decide to open up your own business because
exactly.
The company you're working for went bankrupt.
Yeah,
okay.
And I didn't want to have that happen again. So I go, I'm going to open up my own company this time. So that's how I got started doing that. But then over 30 years, businesses have changed. And you have to stay ahead of the curve on that because every business out there changes. And it's changing even quicker now. So what we found out is we had a great little business model and it was going good. But then the market changed. And it became more what was happening is we were getting more competitive through, like, the Internet sales and things like that. So I looked around and I go, well, you know what? The Internet cannot go 30 feet up in the air.
Right.
So that's where I'm going.
Go where the Internet cannot
go. Exactly.
Okay, so you guys became more, instead of selling just the products and so on, focused on the installation piece.
We went from where customers would sell them lighting supplies and they go, great, could you install them? And go, no, we don't do that too. Now, that's all we do. If customers call us and order light bulbs, we don't even deal with that anymore.
Wow.
We are just strictly service-based company. It's been a process and an evolution to get it to where it is today. And then what I've done is embrace technology. Back in the day, we didn't have the tools and the laptops and the tablets and those sorts of things. So we used to do it all by paper. Started with just a a few guys in bucket trucks and started working our way and doing all with paper to what we have now is a very well-tuned machine that works extremely well. But it's backed up by the team of people, and I really need to go there with this. It is the staff that really makes it work.
And what now? Let's talk about your team then. Brent, I know from CrossFit, your son, but there's 100 others, and I know Casey as well, one of the other guys that works there. Tell us about that team, and you didn't have 100 guys, now you have 100 guys. How did you break up responsibilities?
Yeah, well, that's you can't really decide that ahead of time. You kind of work through that process. And I also, you mentioned my son, Brent. I really need to go there with that. I worked really hard to get the business to a point where it was real comfortable. And Brent came along, and he's extremely talented and really had visions for growing the business and got me excited about it, too. And so between the two of us, we've just been growing the business over the last 7 years significantly.
Well, I tried to get Brent to come on the show with you and do the father-son duo, and he refused. Why would a guy like Brent refuse to come on the air?
He is really suffering from some laryngitis and bronchitis, and he's like coughing up a storm right now.
Oh, gosh.
I don't think he wants to be hacking up on the microphone.
Gotcha.
But
I think he's humble, and I think he wants to have his dad be in the spotlight.
Well, thank you.
He's a good guy.
But he's got that great gift for recognizing talent. What he's done, and between him and I, has built a good team of people. And we've looked at opportunities, and that's what's really grown the business. As we've looked at opportunities, and how can we expand our market? We used to just be in Sacramento, then we've expanded into the Bay Area, down into Southern California. And just looking at those opportunities. So as you bring on those opportunities and you start developing the sales, well, now you got to handle it, which is the other half of it. And it's always going back and forth. You work hard to get the business. Now you got to take care of the business.
Right.
And so along that way, you try to develop and build good teamwork and key individuals. But we've always worked hard, even when we started the business, which was my wife and I started it together.
Uh-huh.
I mean, we had when you talk about home office, the home office was the kitchen table.
Nice.
That's how you get it started. You got to start somewhere. But our goal was always to build great jobs for people. And I honestly believe we didn't build the business with the idea of making a lot of money. If you do a good job, money will follow you.
Yes.
And you'll do well. But take care of your business. Take care of your employees. And create great jobs for them, because they are the lifeblood that really drives the business. You can't do it. Brent and I can't do it by ourselves.
Your people are the lifeblood of the business. I'm Mark Haney. We're talking to Keith Estes. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about how he grew that business, the tough decisions that he had to make along the way. This is Entrepreneurs Unlimited on Facebook Live, broadcasting from Sports 1140, KHTK, streaming live podcast and YouTube at HaneyBiz.com. Welcome back to Entrepreneurs Unlimited, presented by the solar experts at Sun Systems Technology. I'm Mark Haney, and today I am back with Keith Estes, founder and CEO of Century Lighting. Now, Keith, before we went to break, we were talking about how you grow your business. You've grown your business. You made a pivot from the supply side of things, so the equipment supply. Now you're focusing more on service. That was a major shift, and you saw that shift happening because of the internet and so on. But when you made that shift, I mean, that's kind of risky to switch business models, isn't it? Didn't you feel it was risky?
Well, sure. It's, you're comfortable doing something and you've been doing it for a while. And I think that in any successful business, you got to push yourself to get out of that comfort zone. Otherwise, your market will leave you. And that just happens. You look at any industry out there right now and things change. You know, years and years ago, I remember I was at some seminar. And I heard a guy say in the future, there's two types of businesses that'll be around. Those that adapt quickly to change and those that are out of business.
Yeah.
So you got to be one of those that moves along. And we saw that changing. We saw that, you know, basically the margins when we were selling the supplies just dwindled down to nothing. So we go, we need to get somewhere else to where we can really get value added and show that service. And in the service business and we've expanded upon that. Besides lighting, we've also added on some opportunities to provide electrical service. So now we have a whole team of guys that do nothing but just electrical service to the same customers because they had that need.
Yeah.
Okay, we're doing lighting. They go, hey, can you fix this electrical problem I've got, or can you add on some circuits over here, or whatever the case is. Same customers, just providing better service, because we do a really, we did such a good job with the lighting that can you add something else to it? So that's why we added on the electrical. And again, those were opportunities. If you look for those opportunities and challenge yourself to take advantage of that.
Yeah. Now you invested in your people. Some of those people are family members. We talked about Brent early on, who is, we talked him into joining us here. He's not going to come on the air because he's got a bad cough. But how important is the family dynamic in your business, right? You've got Brent, who is your right-hand guy, and you guys have really grown this business together and put a lot of stuff together. But you've got your wife that you mentioned earlier, but you have other family members in the business.
Sure. You know, it's a real blessing that most every day, all of my family, there's five of us, I have three children. Brent's got an older sister and a younger sister. And on any given day, all of us are show up for work. And for me as a father, that's just an incredible rewarding. Never really thought that was the case. We just, you know, I'm doing my thing, doing business, raising kids. You're busy with all that. But they migrated to the business. And because we just, and you talked about it, we have a great synergy in our office. It's a great place to be. They wanted to be part of it. And that's a neat thing. So we're careful, though. We are a family business, but we don't treat it, you know, like, well, if you're outside the family, you're not important. That's not the case. Yeah. We are a family business, the fact that all of our team members are part of the family. We really try to stress that to them. And, you know, we do a lot to recognize that with them and keep them part of it. And we do certain, you know, a lot of things to wherever we can show that appreciation to them and make them feel part of that family. It's just an extension of the Estes family. It's all they are.
When Marcus and I walked around, Brent gave us the tour and showed us how the different processes worked. And we met a number of people, and every single one of them was motivated. They were working. They were cranking. They were upbeat. I mean, it was really an electric type of atmosphere. It was like, if I had a business, and I do, this is what I would want it to be like, and I hope on a good day we are like that as well. But it was very, very impressive, and I could tell how much investment has been put into building that culture. Now, one of the things that you said you do is on Thursday nights you guys do something. What do you guys do?
Oh, sure, yeah. First Thursday of every month we have a beer with the boss. We
beer with the boss. I like that idea.
Well, up in Auburn, we're lucky to have a couple breweries. One of them just down the street.
Yes. You got Knee Deep that's up there, and what's the
other
one?
One's called Moonrakers.
Oh, Moonrakers. Yeah.
So we kind of switch off between the two of them and support the local businesses. But you know, we'll do things like that. In the past, when we were smaller, and we had enough room, I used to do a barbecue for all the employees in the backyard, and I'd barbecue. Bring everybody in. We've outgrown that, so now we do different venues off-site. But the idea is every year we do an employee appreciation day and have a place. Lately, we've been using that at the River Cats out there.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, there's that area outside in the outfield there where you can reserve that, and you can have we've got food, we got games for the kids. So it's a family affair and family event, because it's important that I want the, you know, we got one of the employees working for us. I want the rest of the family to realize how much we value the work that employee does for us, and that they understand it's we're really behind the family. Whatever we can do to help the family and make them understand it's part of the whole thing. So
now, besides yourself, you guys have had some incredible success. You've grown well. It's easy to see by noticing your trucks and cranes around the area. But I see it when I walk through your office. In terms of that culture, besides yourself, who would you say is most responsible for that success you guys had?
Well, of course, I got to give kudos to my son, Brent. He's been the driving
force. Now, Brent is sitting right next to him, right there.
If you can get him to talk, but he's been a driving force the last 7 to 8 years in the business. Been with me full-time a little over 10 years now. Oh, coming up on 11. And took a few years, you know, for him to get comfortable with himself in the situation, and then he's really just taken hold of it. And again, he's also seen the opportunities and been pushing me and pushing the business along. My job has been a lot to keep everybody going together in the same direction and not let that get out of control, which it has. It can do that. So you have to work real hard to not necessarily control the growth, but make sure you're all doing it the same way. In other words, I think a lot of my job is to make sure everybody is walking down the street in the same direction, holding hands.
Yeah.
And we're all in this together. And every part of the business needs to be successful. I've got some great senior managers we brought on board, and some team leaders. And my motto with everyone is like, you park your ego outside. When you come in here, we're all equal, including myself. Mm-hmm. You know, if the trash needs to be emptied, I'll do it.
I love it.
Yeah, no one's any superior. We all work together for the common goal. And, you know, really, a company is nothing but a bunch of people banded together to try to improve the lifestyle and the standard of living for everybody that's in that company.
I love it. That's what we do. I love it. I can just envision that group, that team you guys have, arm in arm, hand in hand, walking down like an army ready to go to war for one another, for building that standard of living, for building Century Lighting, for creating opportunity right here in our region. I want to thank you for coming on the show today, Keith. You were awesome. And I want to thank Brent for introducing me to your dad. I look forward to having you back at CrossFit here pretty soon after your wife has that baby, and connecting up more with you, Keith, in the future. So, again, thank you. I also want to thank Carla Holtz for joining us, along with Dave Sanders. It was helpful to have them on the show and share some high-tech stuff early on. And I want to give a little shout-out to my buddies Richard Bakken and Clay Evans, the wealth management team over there. They do great work. They put that's where I put my money, and I put my money where my mouth is. And Bakken and Evans, they do a heck of a job over at Stifel Financial. And a little bit of shout-out here to my buddy over at Startup Grind, Rich Foreman. I'm going to be over there speaking, I think, in October 11th from 6 to 9 at Urban High. They're at 1931 8th Street in Sacramento. And you're not going to want to miss next week. We will be hosting two very influential guys in our region, Mr. Willie Duncan, the president of Sierra College, and the political titan, David Townsend, will be joining us next week. And when we return, I'm going to have some closing thoughts about opportunity, about growing our business. This is KHTK, or Entrepreneurs Unlimited on KHTK, Sports 1140. Signing off. Welcome back. And the question that we've been contemplating is, how fast should we grow our business? Is it better to grow slow? Is it better to grow a little bit faster like some of these guys? I guess the answers are as individual as the entrepreneurs that make these decisions. I mean, we're all different, aren't we?
No doubt.
And the opportunities are all a little bit different. So there's probably no right answer, no one answer. As the investrepreneur and chief dreaming officer of our little fledgling enterprise, I look at the answer to that is as fast as we can do it correctly, right? I'm 53 and I want to grow, but I don't want to grow so fast that things break all around me. We've got to grow correctly. I'm back here with Marcus Haney and Tom Cisneros. Gentlemen, takeaways, closing thoughts. How are you feeling?
Man, Keith Estes over at Century Lighting, that guy is one heck of an entrepreneur. Love what he's growing. Love the family business. I think that's such an interesting dynamic, and so cool that him and Brent can work so closely together and rock and roll.
I think it's really interesting that, you take a look at the two guests, which are a stark contrast from one another. And, you have someone that's very soft-spoken like Carla, very intelligent. She's doing this high-tech thing I can't even relate to. And then you have somebody that kind of grinds out a living. And by the way, is it Estes or is it Estes? Because my mom's maiden name was Estes. It's spelled the same way. I'd like a little clarification.
It is Estes is the way he pronounces it, but yeah, it's spelled like we would spell Estes.
Yeah, E-S-T-E-S.
Yeah.
Just a stark contrast I find really interesting, because we get that every time.
Entrepreneurs come in all shapes and sizes, don't we? I mean, we just look so different, but there are commonalities that I think both guests shared. I mean, they both are trying to build company value. We know that even Carla talked about that she's got to have the thing be sustainable, so she knows she's got to make some profits. As these startup companies get rolling, they've got to make money, or their investors get a little sideways on them. You've got to make money. And, but they both want to grow. I mean, the opportunity that Parable brings to the Sacramento region is huge with jobs. You know, that revenue growth drives jobs, and, the market share is critical when you're trying to, get ahead in business. And I think Keith was interesting to think about how he pivoted when he was selling supplies, right? He was selling the equipment and had to pivot at some point. That's a huge change that I think technology has brought to us. It is, unless you're going to be an online retailer, you do need to move to something different if you're selling supplies, because on the online retailers are tending to have the most success. So.
Adapt or be killed.
Yeah, but then how fast do you grow when you adapt like that? I mean, that's an interesting thing too, right? If you go from selling supplies to just being a service, how do you grow from to that new section of your company?
Yeah, and he had only a few employees at that time, and now he's got so many because he was opportunistic, right?
Right.
He saw the challenge, he saw the opportunity, he saw the problem with the internet coming in and killing his margins, and then he saw the opportunity to work on creating a service business. And I think, you know, that's what entrepreneurship is about, is being being opportunistic. And when you see that, you have to go for that. And I, you know, you have to go for it. And I wanted to share a quick story. We were at the 49er game last week. Me, Marcus, there's about, I guess there's about 12 of us.
Scott Marsh
took
out
a couple
there.
Of limitless limos down there. Yeah, Scott Marsh from KHDK. We had
Matt Graham from Jiffy Lube.
Jiffy Lube was out there. Tom Candras, Package One. We had the Wives. We had Brian was out there. It was a great time. So we were out there with a Niner game, and the Niners were playing the Rams, and all of us were wearing our red shirts, right, for the Niners, except for one guy, Scott Marsh. He was wearing blue. And so anyway, we had a great time. We get out there and watching the game, and somehow the Niners ended up, you know, getting up 21-0, and it was incredible. It was the end of the third quarter. I think there was end of the fourth quarter, maybe 11 minutes to go in the game, something like that. And it was probably like four down territory. It was like third and five, and all of a sudden, this guy runs out onto the field in a red shirt, right? And he runs, and everybody's chasing him. He runs from the stands out into the field, and he's circling all over the place. And eventually, he takes off his shirt. And I look around, and I'm thinking, the guy in the red shirt. I look around, I'm looking for Marcus. I can't find Marcus anywhere. I'm looking for Candras. I don't see Candras. I know it's not Marsh because the guy has a red shirt. Marsh is wearing blue. But it was the best play of the game, and it turned out we were there when a guy named Kevin Harlan announced this on the radio, and Kevin Harlan decided not to take the playoff and to go for it entrepreneur style.
I love it.
Four looks into the nickel of San Francisco in the secondary. Hey, somebody has run out on the field. Some goofball in a hat and a red shirt. Now he takes off the shirt. He's running down the middle by the 50. He's at the 30. He's bare-chested and banging his chest. Now he runs the opposite way. He runs at the 50. He runs at the 40. The guy is drunk, but there he goes. The 20. They're chasing him. They're not going to get him. Waving his arms, bare-chested. Somebody stop
Look
that
out.
Man.
Here comes the blue coat.
Oh, they got him.
Here comes
coming
the
from the
goats.
Left. Oh, and they tackle him at the 40-yard line.
Nice hit.
It was incredible. It was right in front of we sit on the 40-yard line. It was right in front of us. This security guard made he got his head across. It was a great tackle. It was the best play of the game. And it was weird because we've been down to two Niner games this year. The first one, we were there when Colin Kaepernick decided not to take a knee, and we were there during this one. Both of these make national news, and they were right in front of our very eyes out at Levi's Stadium. What a story. And Kevin Harlan, you know, I had heard of him before, but now I'm a huge fan.
Right,
I am
right.
A Kevin Harlan fan. This guy goes for it, right? This guy does not take the play off. And, you know, it got me sort of thinking about maybe doing a little reflection on what entrepreneurship is all about and a little bit about, you know, growing our business and how fast we ought to grow our business. And guys, I'm looking for
my sanity.
Yeah. I started thinking about, you know, what does that mean to me, right? As a guy that, you know, it's four down territory, right? And what's four down territory, right? It's a time of the game where you can't punt. You're too far away for a field goal. You really need to get in the end zone. You need a touchdown. And this was, we were in four down territory. Kevin Harlan was in four down territory. And, you know, he just went for it. And it got me thinking about, there's times as an entrepreneur where you just have to go for it, like Keith Estes did when he saw the opportunity to pivot from supply to service. And if I'm an employee Right? I'm an employee, and I'm working for a guy like the guy that owns Century Lighting. I'm working for a guy like Keith Estes. I look around, and I see opportunity. As Marcus and I walk through his business, all I could see was opportunity. So if I'm working for a company like that, I look at that as opportunity. I look at that as a chance to realize that that's four down territory, my friends. You have to go for it if you see that opportunity. If I'm a small business owner, if I'm a medium-sized business owner and things are starting to click a little bit and it's important to me that I build something for my family, right? Build something for my employees, for my team, create some opportunity. If I'm in that position, I got to look at that as four down territory. That's a time when I can't punt. I can't kick a field goal. I've got to go for it. I can't take a playoff. I got to do a Kevin Harlan. I've got to play through it. And just thinking about, as Dave Sanders is on the show, and there's a group of us Sacramento guys trying to do something, getting Sacramento business leaders together to extend what's going on out there in the Silicon Valley down in here into the Sacramento region and build a region that's different, right? As I look at what's starting to happen right now in Sacramento, the growth that's just beginning here in Sacramento, the entrepreneurs just starting to come together to build something different, I look at that as opportunity. I look at that as we are in four down territory here in Sacramento. It's time for us to go for it. It's time for us to go for it. It's that time, gentlemen. Never above you. Never below you. Always by your side. We're so careful.